Good morning.
Feels like I haven't been up here in 3 weeks.
So this morning we are going to start a casual series on the Psalms. I say it's casual so that later when I'm preaching about something else and you say, what happened to this? Oh, it was a casual series. It's a casual series. When we're doing it, we're doing it. And when we're not doing it, it's okay. It's okay. And we're going to start this morning with one of the most famous psalms, and that is Psalm 19. And my goal this morning is incredibly simple. This is a lesson that is not intended to really drive you deep, but just get you thinking about one thing in particular. My goal this morning is to connect you very specifically with the ministry that God is doing in all of our lives, in the lives of everybody in this world, as it talks about in the first few verses of Psalm 19. In fact, one of the ways that you can remember the first few verses of Psalm 19 is that the first six verses of Psalm 19 talks about what God is doing with the sky, and then 7 through 11 talks about what God is doing with the Word. So I think that we as people need to be put in touch with what God is doing in the first six verses because we are urban people, we are fast-paced people, we are distracted people, we're very productive and efficient and rational and scientific, but in all of that, there is something that God has designed for you to help you every single day. And there's not a day that goes by or a place in this world on this planet where God is not ministering to people in this very specific way. So let's look at Psalm 19, the first six verses. And we will see how God is ministering to us, interestingly enough, through the sky. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. That's Psalm 19, 1 through 6. So, when you look up, and you're outside, you see the sky. Psalm 19, 1 is very clear. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament declares His handiwork. So the focus on these six verses is what we see when we look up. The heavens, the skies, the firmament, which is an old word for the arched dome of sky that seems to cover all of the earth, wherever you are. And so, of course, God made more than what we see when we look up. Right? I mean, He made earth and trees and animals. And I don't think that David means to say here that the skies speak of God and declare His glory, but that the earth doesn't, or that the oceans and lakes and trees and birds and flowers and animals and everything else in it doesn't declare His handiwork. Everything that God made speaks something about God. And therefore, everything that God made ministers to us in some way about what God is, but here in verse 1 through 6 of Psalm 19, it's about the sky. So that's what we're going to talk about. The first thing, the focus is on what we see when we look up. The second thing is that the skies are gushing forth speech. It says that they pour forth speech in verse 2. They make known knowledge. So, I have been saying this for years. You've probably heard this for years before I ever got here. God speaks through what He has made. Everything that God made was intended to point us not to that thing as the termination point of our thoughts, but to point us to God. so that when you see a beautiful tree, you don't say, what a beautiful tree. You say, what a beautiful tree, how awesome God is that that tree is what that tree is. And since God never speaks in vain, nothing that God says is useless to us, that means that there must be something that we can learn from what he has made. And here, with the sky, there's got to be something specific that we can learn there as well. So, the first is that the focus is on what we see when we look up. The second is that the sky pours forth speech. God is speaking everywhere. But the third thing is that that message is delivered without ordinary words. And it's hard to explain. And in fact, David kind of struggles with it in verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. But then in verse 3, he says, there is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. And the word that he uses there for speech is exactly the same. So it's talking about the same thing. So, in other words, God intends for there to be communication from his mind and heart to our mind and heart, but the medium of communication here is not with written words. It's not with spoken words. It's with light and color and contrast and shape and proportion and design. So verse 3 says, there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet verse 4 then comes right back to verse 2 again. But their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. David might be confused by it and might struggle to put into words exactly what is happening and what is going on, but the message is clear. There is something that God wants the sky and everything that's in the sky, the clouds and the moon and the stars and the sun, everything to communicate to us. And that fourth thing is that the message is about the glory of God. The message that the sky is delivering to you every day when you look up, and I'm super thankful that today was sunny, because if it was really rainy, I didn't want it to be like, you know, angry God. That today it's sunny and we're happy and we can look up and say, sun, it's what a wonderful day. So day and night, everywhere in the world, God is speaking to people about himself. Not about nature. I worried a little bit that I was going to come across as kind of a new agey pantheist here, but God is not nature, and nature is not God. God created everything, and they were not until he said that they were. And so what God is talking about and communicating through the sky and beyond the sky and everything in creation is about himself. And verse 1 makes it clear what the message is. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky above proclaims the work of his hand, or his handiwork. So, the best way that I can compare this wordless communication that is happening from the sky to you is what happens when we see a painting. So, here's a painting. It is a beautiful painting. It is a painting of an area in the Sierra Nevadas that is not disclosed, and I wish I knew where it was, because it looks incredible. Two things come to our minds immediately when someone shows us a painting. The first is that we sense immediately that this is a painting. You're not looking at real mountains and real waterfalls and real deer or elk or trees or clouds. You immediately know that this is a facsimile of something else. Though it has a very high level of verisimilitude with life, we know immediately that it is a painting. It's the work of a human hand. None of you had to reason that out. None of you thought, am I looking? Did Nathaniel just open a window to California? Every one of you immediately knew it was a painting. And the second thing we sense immediately is whether we like it or not. So you saw it, you're like, that's a painting, and I think it's gorgeous. Or you saw it, and you said, that's a painting, and I don't care for the style. For those of you that were here when we were meeting at the gallery, you experienced these two things all the time. You would walk in a midweek and you would say, that's a painting and I hate it. Or, that's a painting, I wonder how much it costs. And there's an immediate communication to our hearts when you saw this, whether you liked it or not. So, that seems to be, to me, similar to what David means when he's describing the skies as speaking without speech. And so, without words, we immediately know when we look up at the sky, just like we would with a painting, that this, the sun, the sky, the moon, the clouds, we immediately know that was created. It was designed. And all of the speculation that you hear of the origins of the universe can't really shake loose in you that profound, immediate, and plain perception of the mind and the heart, that this is the work of a designer, and that it was created, and that it was God. And the second thing that we sense immediately is that it's glorious. I can't tell you the number of times that Misty has been in the house and I have been walking in from work, usually not this time of year because I get home hours before the sun sets. But when I get home around sunset, there are many times where I'm like, you've got to come out here and look at this sunset because in like 5 minutes it's not going to look this awesome. And you've got to get out here now because it's amazing looking. And there's orange and pinks and there's all sorts of crazy colors that shouldn't be in the sky. But there they are, and it's amazing and it's glorious and I love it. We never get tired of seeing sunsets. We see sunsets our entire lives, again and again and again and again and again, almost every night. And we look at it and we're like, that's amazing. You know how many sunsets you're going to see before you die? Thousands and thousands of sunsets. Why do they never get boring? You know what most of us don't see? Sunrises. Equally beautiful, it turns out. I found out this morning. Equally beautiful. All of these things that we see are just the outskirts of God's ways and just little tiny beams of His beauty that are in our world. And the glory of God is not something that can be transferred into our hearts merely by words. There is an immediate discovery and a spiritual perception that happens when a God-given revelation really, really hits home. And no flood of words or arguments or reasonings could ever replace what we experience in our hearts when we know that God did something. And God did the sky. And every day you get to see it and you get to revel in it and you get to experience its glory. So one more observation. So we saw that the focus for Psalm 19:1 through 6 is on what we see when we look up. That those things that we see when we look up gush forth speech. That their message is delivered without ordinary words. And that the message that they're delivering to us is about the glory of God. That He is beyond comprehension. And that His wisdom and knowledge are far above ours. But the fifth point is that the glory of God is a happy thing. Is that not the point of verses 5 and 6? God has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. So David looks up on this just glorious morning on Mount Zion, and he hears, quote unquote, this just speech gushing forth from the sky about the glory of God. And he fixes his heart's attention on that theme and on the symphony of glory. And as he watches the sun rise over the Jordan Valley as he's penning this psalm. And then God, with his Holy Spirit, helps him to say exactly the right words. And he says in verse 5, it comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber and like a strong man running his course. So, like a bridegroom. Do you see in verse 5 what God wants you to see here? He wants you to see and feel that the Son pours forth speech about the glory of God, and that the glory of God is an incredibly happy thing. Why else say that it's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber? It's not just to say, I think that I might have taken this previously before I spent some time thinking about it, that the bridegroom comes out of his chamber dressed the nicest that he can possibly be dressed, right? There is nobody dresses up more, unless you're me, on their wedding day than they do on their wedding day. And so the sun, arrayed like a bridegroom dressed on his wedding day, rises up out of the east. But I don't think that's what it is. The point is that who is happier than a bridegroom on his wedding day coming out of his chamber to marry his bride? It's the happiest day of his life. It's the fulfillment of all of his dreams. It is the beginning for him of an entirely new kind of joy that he has never experienced before. That's what the glory of God is like. That's the message when the sun rises, and though you may not know this, in just as lavish of reds and pinks and oranges as it does when it sets, that is the glory of God rising fresh and new to remind you this is a great new day. I was driving home from driving some friends to the airport much too early this morning. And as I was driving home, the sun was in about the same place in the sky as it is when I'm coming back from work in the afternoon. But because it was coming from the other direction, I was much happier. I just felt better this morning. I was driving, I was like, the sun is in a great place, and I'm driving home, and it's great, and we're going to have a great service, and I'm going to get to see everybody. It's a great day. And I thought, good thing I'm preaching about the sun, because I'm so happy about the sun this morning. God's glory is a happy thing, like the happiness of a bridegroom on his wedding day. But the even more explicit picture is like a strong man running his course with joy. The thing that I think of when I think of this is Chariots of Fire. I'm sorry if you have never seen Chariots of Fire, but Chariots of Fire is a 1980 film, won Best Picture, deservedly so, about a man named Eric Liddell who is a racer, a runner, and he races. And in the running that he does, he says that he feels God's glory as he runs because he's doing the thing that God created him to do. And he loves it. And he's a phenomenal runner. And the music is incredible. Classic 1980s music. Make you feel like you want to run. And then you'll remember why you don't after you try it. But as he is taking his last turn in the race in Chariots of Fire, it slows down into slow motion. You've got the score that is just this iconic score playing, and his arms are just pumping like pistons, and he just throws his head back, and he's in the most non-aerodynamic position to be running in. He's throwing his head back, and he's just enjoying running because he knows that he's making God happy. Because he's doing what God designed him to do, and he's just running. In that moment, you're like, oh, that's great! Because every muscle and fiber in his body is doing just what it was made to do, and he smiles, and all you can think about is, this is pretty stinking great. That's what God's glory is like. It's like when you're doing the thing that you're best at, that God gave you the gift to do, and you're just loving it. When you look up at the sky and you see the sun, you're like, man, the sun is so happy to be out like a bridegroom on his wedding day. And then as it's just cruising across the sky, that's like a runner loving running. I want you to think of Jordan Howell. Every time you see the sun go across the sky, I think, man, it's just like Jordan when he's just so happy when he's running. It's like every muscle and every tendon and every ligament and every organ in your body was working exactly the way they were created to work on your day of triumph. the glory of God is absolutely the happiest reality in the world. And when you look up at the sky, anytime you want, you can see that. And you can enjoy that. So humility and hope, and happiness. That's the content of God's ministry to you via clouds and sun and moon, stars and sky. Because when I look up, I realize how tiny I am. Because I'm tiny. I have hope because the God that created that loves me. And then I'm happy. I'm happy when I see a beautiful sky. And after the summer, believe it or not, I'm going to be super happy when it starts raining again. Because I get really tired of the sun. I want some gray days. Maybe I'm weird. Or maybe I'm the only one who's not weird. That's probably not true. So here's the closing issue this morning. The closing issue is whether you as an individual have ever seen the glory of God in the sky or in the face of Jesus or in the Bible or in the reality that Christ died for you and rose again, or if you've seen that glory anywhere. Some people have never seen it. Some people look up at the sky and they're like, there's the sky. For other people, it's been a really long time since they have experienced or seen God's glory in anything. And I want to, in just a moment, pray for us that God would open the eyes of our hearts so that when we wake up tomorrow morning, or even now as you're leaving and you walk out of this building and you look up, that you will see the sky like you have never seen the sky before, and you will realize that it is a message directly from God to you about how glorious He is. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, You are immeasurable and wonderful and glorious, and we thank You so much for making those aspects of Yourself so clear to us in Your creation. Thank You, Father, for everything that we can see. Thank You for giving us eyes to see. Thank You for giving us the senses that we have so that we can experience the things that You would have us experience. And so that in experiencing those, Father, we would bring You and give You glory. Help us, Father, not to enjoy a sunset by itself, but to enjoy a sunset as You have given it to us, and as You have created it, and as You have spoken to us through it about who You are. God, give us hearts of humility so that we can understand our place in this world and we can understand our desperate need for You. Give us a desire for Your word. Give us a desire for Your Son. Holy Spirit, please guide our footsteps. Help us to know the right things to say as we try and share the gospel through the big picture. Jesus, please come quickly. And Father, we ask all of these things because Jesus died for us, and it is in His name that we pray. Amen. I love Psalm 19. And that was just the first 6 verses. Imagine what the rest of them are like. Turns out just as good. Spoiler alert. You should read that this afternoon. And you should, since it's a beautiful day today, just take a few minutes to enjoy the sky. Enjoy what God gave you. Enjoy the fact that His glory is being communicated to you through it and through everything else. And have a really, really good summer devoted to stirring each other up to love and good works, devoted to holding fast to your confession, and then devoted to hanging out here with us. It's going to be a really great summer, and we're going to grow together as Christians and as friends and closer to God. I love you all. Let's stand up and sing.